Patrick Riley, welcome back to Upfront. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Ray Cornelius. It's always good to talk divas with you, even though this is on some level a truly sad occasion. But I'm filled with gratitude for Mary Wilson.
You know, I was coming into this year like, okay, who have I not talked to for the show? And I immediately thought of her, and I had tried, you know, talking to her back in 2019 when she released the Supreme Glamour book, basically this Bible, if you will, of Supreme costumes and all of their iconic, you know, gowns that they wore, really at the height of the Supremedom, as you want to call it, during the 60s. And so I had been trying to do this interview. And of course, COVID hit and my mind sort of went all over the place, I think, as the rest of the world did. But coming into this year, I was like, okay, I want to revisit this idea of interviewing Miss Mary Wilson. Contacted her folks. They were like, absolutely, let's do this. We were getting ready to do it. And the day that we were supposed to do the interview, I had to, I kind of had to move things around. So I had to basically reschedule the interview. So I called her publicist the night before and said, hey, I hate to do this, but I need to reschedule our interview. Is this possible? This will also give me a little bit more time to prepare because I really wanted to talk to her about her as a Supreme, both in the group and, you know, after they, you know, basically disbanded, and then her personal music, where she was at this point in her career, the excitement about the book and what was to come for 2021. He was like, this, let's do it. And this was going to be part of my Black History Month programming. I was going to end Black History Month with an entire show dedicated to Mary Wilson. And so we postponed the interview. And then the next week, that Monday night going into Tuesday morning, I said, oh my gosh, I got to call Christian back to reschedule this interview. Let's get this on the books. I don't want to miss her because I know that she's going to get really busy. The next morning, I wake up to two messages that were sent to me that Miss Wilson had passed away. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is not happening. And so you, of course, were one of the first individuals that I thought of because we just share the love for not just the divas, but, you know, the Supremes, you know, all of them. And I said, you know what, let's have Patrick to come on the show and to talk about her legacy. You had an opportunity to really get to know her over the years. You've interviewed her a gazillion times and just really wanted to have just a reflective, if you will, I hope you caught that, conversation about her career and who she was outside of just, we all know her as a Supreme, but she was so much more than that. And that was evident in all of the amazing tributes. Gosh, Shirley Ralph, my heart sank when I saw her in tears on social media because this was a huge loss.
This was a loss for the culture. Thank you, Ray, for having me on to lift the name of Mary Wilson. You know, when you first had me on Upfront, I was there to promote my book, That's What Friends Are For, on the women who inspired me. And this book's what? It's been out 2 years and we've lost so many of our greats since this book came out. I mean, before the book even came out, Aretha Franklin is gone. Diane Carroll, Della Reese, Lena Horne, many people who I wanted to make sure we amplified and didn't forget in the grand scheme of history and the culture and making sure that we don't get lost in the sauce of that greatness that we come from, we're losing them. And I don't know that we anticipated that we would lose Mary Wilson this soon. I mean, when we think about next or who might be next, you know, you can't guess it, you can't predict it, but I don't think any of us thought Mary Wilson would be gone this soon. You mentioned preparing for Black History Month 2021. Mary Wilson, no day before she passed away, was preparing for a big Black History Month 2021 as it related to the legacy of the Supremes. If you saw her final video on YouTube, she spoke of how amazing things have happened to the Supremes in February. Stop in the Name of Love went number one in February. Also, sad things happened in February. We lost Florence Ballard in 1976, February 26. So the idea that she, one day before she passed away, was thinking kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly of what February represents for the Supremes, and then she was gone, is truly, truly sad. But I had an opportunity many, many years ago via Good Day Atlanta to meet Mary Wilson in Atlanta promoting whatever the show du jour was. And she, from as early on as the early 90s, was the what I call the approachable Supreme. She was the networking Supreme who was the keeper of the flame, the keeper of all roster changes of the Supremes. Because everyone knows Miss Ross was definitely the leader for that decade in the 60s where they had all the great hits. But Mary Wilson is the one who kept it going. When Jean Terrell came into the mix after Miss Ross left in 70, Mary Wilson, though not the singing leader, was truly the leader, the contractor of all the appearances, the gowns, the looks, the visions. And she continued to make sure she hired girls to fit that archetype of three girls who represented really the example of what a pop girl group is. And that is what the Supremes were. They were the example, the exemplar of what a successful, well choreographed, well trained group of women who have extensive talent, who are preparing their talent for kings and queens, as their as Maxine Powell once said, that's the woman who gave them all the charms via the artist development component of Motown that just sort of crunk out superstars like the assembly line at Ford Motor Company, you know, and Mary Wilson, Diana Ross, and Florence Ballard, I think represent that magic that Motown will forever represent. And it's interesting that even though she wasn't the lead singer in the Supremes, Mary Wilson truly was the holder of the flame. And I think even if you were to speak to Miss Ross today, she would agree. She always sort of kept the legacy of the Supremes in the hands of Mary Wilson.
I totally concur and agree with everything. I mean, she, when I think of her, and I only had the small pleasure of meeting her from a distance many, many moons ago when she was promoting one of her books at one of the Trumpet Awards. Every year they would have a author component where any celebrity who had a book out at that time was invited to promote their book. You could come and have your book signed. And I just remember going to CNN, and as soon as I came up off of that elevator, the escalator, she was there. And it was just, I couldn't believe it. I was starstruck. I was so scared to even say anything to her, but she was there with her book. And then two tables down was Gladys Knight. And I did, again, I was in such shock and awe, but I did get an opportunity to, because I told my aunt, and she said, if Gladys Knight is there, you make sure she signs my CD. So I was able to get Ms. Knight to sign the CD. But when I think of Mary Wilson, I think of that amazing smile. She had such a twinkle in her eye. And you're right, she was really the approachable Supreme that I think, you know, when people think of that group and the magic, it really was all three of these women coming together as a collective with that one voice, with that one sound. And it changed the way that I think our country looked at African-American women, especially at that time. They had never seen glamorous Black women on television. We were never given the opportunity to be glamorous and beautiful on television. And so when the Supremes came out at that time, it just, you know, you listen to stories from Oprah Winfrey and so many others that were inspired by these three brown girls from Detroit, and the rest is history. Let's talk, if you will, Patrick, about your opportunity of being there the night that Motown the Musical debuted. And this was an exceptional story about that whole Motown machine, you know, how Mr. Gordy was able to basically produce artists like he did when he was producing Cars, you know, working, you know, in the car industry at that time, and taking that concept and that idea and just pushing out these stars. And I always say Motown, there was something in the water in Detroit, because you have all of these stars in this one area, this one neighborhood, Aretha Franklin, and even over the years, the Clark Sisters and the Winans, and you know, so many others that have come out of Detroit. But if you can, take us back to that night at the opening for Motown the Musical.
Well, firstly, it was just an honor to be hired by Mr. Berry Gordy's marketing team for Motown the Musical to be the host of its opening night red carpet. And that meant I was interviewing all of the original Motown legends who were being chronicled on the stage, as well as many of the performers afterwards who got to portray these greats. And so it's worth noting that I did get Mr. Berry Gordy and Miss Diana Ross together, with Miss Ross telling Berry Gordy to look out for this one, meaning me, because I have a memory of steel. Miss Ross knew that I was the interviewer to really kind of hold them all accountable for that great legacy. But I also got to interview Miss Mary Wilson, who was absolutely delighted that the Supremes were going to be a part of this narrative. She was, she had confirmed at this point that she was in it, because so often in Motown's legacy, you know, it's a polarizing history where sometimes Mary Wilson and Florence could get lost in the sauce of Diana Ross's shadow, which was not always a personal thing, but it's kind of like a media-driven thing or a PR-driven thing. But the Supremes were very much represented in a way that made her proud. Mary, different than Diana as it related to Dreamgirls, took to the parallel that Dreamgirls represented. It was not about the Supremes, but it was about a girl group from an urban city in the 60s who went on to have great success and struggles. And so that's, on some level, would have been the extent of the parallel, but Mary took to it personally and embraced the members of that original cast of Dreamgirls 40 plus years ago to let them know that that was her story. And then she went on and adapted that into her New York Times bestseller, the memoir, Dreamgirl, My Life is a Supreme. But on this night, Mary was happy to sort of see the reunion of all Motown energies, celebrating the legacy of Motown in this musical. And it would be a night, though not in a singing way, where Miss Ross and Miss Mary Wilson did come back together. At the bow on opening night, all the original stars came on stage and embraced each other as if it were a Motown 25 reunion. And it was just a beautiful moment. And then at the after party, there was a local Detroit reporter who was able to gather Berry Gordy, Mary Wilson, Diana Ross, and Jesse Jackson. You know, Jesse Jackson's always up in there. And interviewed them just on the specialness of that night, on the specialness of where they came from. There was a moment with Berry Gordy between Diana and Berry where they each kiss him and put a big red mark on his cheek. It was just a beautiful night that was sort of captured in the corner at the Roseland Ballroom, which is where the after party was. And it just showed me that as much as people want to sort of portray this feud that went on and on and on and on, it wasn't as highly charged as people knew. People really didn't realize that their energy towards each other was love. Certainly they weren't able to get back together, tour again, become best friends, best girlfriends like they were back in the day, but there was a rich, true, deep love that went all the way to when they were together the last time at the Vanity Fair Oscar party 2019. And that was just a wonderful moment where Evan Ross took his mom over to say hi to Quincy Jones and Mary Wilson. And they each all had a wonderful collective moment. I think there are some pictures out there that demonstrate that moment, but there was never any continued beef. You know, the ability to tour again, sing again is one thing, but the love they had for each other, the true special connection they had, was always there. And I had the chance just to sort of put a button on my time with Mary Wilson. October 31st, 2019, I had the chance to see Mary promote Supreme Glamour at the Newark Grammy Museum. And it was a wonderful one-on-one evening with Mary Wilson where she took Q&A. And I sought that moment to play from the place that you just referenced regarding Oprah and Whoopi and the people who lift the Supremes' names. I wanted to know if she was as aware that her LGBTQ following lifted the Supremes up in that same regard as the likes of an Oprah or a Whoopi. And I wanted to know if she and Diana and Flo were as aware of that. And she got choked up. Choked up because one, she said they were aware, but they, and they welcomed anyone who loved them. And so they early on saw that a lot of their gay followers loved them and they loved the love. But more than that, she got choked up because she said, OMG, I know that Florence would have loved to hear that sentiment. And it just moved, it moved her, it moved me, it moved the room to know that the gay icons that they are, that that's something that all these years later after Florence has left us, she would have loved. And I was happy to have touched her in that moment, this before she broke out in her wonderful rendition of Here's to Life, which is something else I want to point out, is that Mary and her voice, her unique voice, that wasn't the voice that led those many, many pop classics, but her voice was something special that beyond the Supremes' run, she used to great effect as a live performer. And from her Gladys Knight rendition of I Will Survive to her Jennifer Holliday turn of I Am Changing to these beautiful jazz ballads like Here's to Life, Mary Wilson was a true entertainer and a true performer. And I don't want that to get lost in the sauce because she was reduced to oohs and ahs and baby babies. Mary Wilson is a trained, was a trained singer for our time. And I don't want that to get lost.
Absolutely. And you know, when I think of, you know, when you go back and you listen to the live concerts, their live recordings, their voices were so strong. And you can't, there's no way that you can have that complete sound with just one voice. So Diana's voice with Mary's voice intertwined with Florence's voice created that Supremes sound. It wasn't just, you know, the one voice, and you're absolutely right. You mentioned Here's to Life, which is one of my favorite songs. And I've heard that over and over and over, you know, that that her version of that song is one that that people really, really enjoy. And so I'm glad that you pointed that out. Can we talk about her as a philanthropist and really as someone, you mentioned the LGBTQ community, she was very active in HIV/AIDS awareness and prevention. Yes. Can we talk about that aspect of her career as well?
Well, it's so interesting to note, she and Dionne Warwick were good, good, good girlfriends. And so she marched alongside Dionne Warwick during the era of AIDS awareness. During a time where there was a lot of stigma, Mary Wilson put her name out there and out front. During a time where artists were, I guess, what do we call them? Vintage artists were traveling in an unregulated way where there were a lot of imposter acts portraying, you know, classic acts from the 60s. This was a big problem industry-wide that Mary took to Congress and was instrumental in having legislation passed to make sure not only that the older artists get paid for their music in this streaming time, but she also wanted to make sure that the authentic artists of the day who were still out and about and performing were given their just due on the road. And that yet again shows that she was not just the keeper of the flame of the Supremes who set the intention for how pop works and how show business works in a pop context, but she really continued to be that for all artists. And so Mary Wilson was also just generous of her talent and her time with many organizations, many marginalized communities, many underserved communities. A lot of her calendar was spent donating time. You know, certainly there might have been operational fees that take care of her travel and this and that, or there might be a fee for talent, but most of what she was able to bring so that a lot of nonprofit organizations could raise money, she brought. And she brought it as an ambassador, not just of Motown, but she was an ambassador for us all. And I meant, and I mean the world. So, and you know, I should also add that when we think about the book Supreme Glamour, which is what I call a love letter to the fans, because it really is not just about the gowns, but it is about that complete story of these three little girls from the Brewster Projects who dare to dream. And in daring to dream and in daring to hustle as they did in those early years through the no-hit Supremes years, they showed that perseverance will get you to a goal. And if you can get over the hump of the initial goal, you just might have a stab at longevity. And Mary Wilson is the exemplar of longevity.
One other point I'd like to add as we close this segment is she actually went back to school. She went back, got a degree. That was so important to her and was really one of her biggest accomplishments. I mean, she talked about that a lot. Being able to go back and have that degree was really important to her. Can you mention that as well or talk about that as well?
Well, it's worth noting, I think if we describe the three girls, Mary was also the literary one, the studious one. She always kept diaries. She always wrote. She had an English teacher in high school who felt she should write. So it is ironic that she would be the one to sort of write the comprehensive, if you will, history of the Supremes. She always represented the Supremes in a very refined and educated way. She was the spokesperson. And so I think education for the times that Diana, Mary, and Flo grew up in, I think education has always been important to them. You need look no further than Ms. Ross's five kids. She made sure they all went to school and good schooling and good education and good training for what they do in their careers and their life. Same thing for Mary. Mary wanted for herself the ability to say that she was an educated woman. And so she went in NYU and studied to be the businesswoman that she had to always be with or without the education. She's the one that had to crunch those numbers when the Supremes dates weren't generating the kind of numbers that they might've been doing in the 60s. And she had to make it work. When one girl was out, you know, having a baby, she had to make sure there was another girl that could come in. Mary Wilson did this. Mary Wilson had to make the decision in 77 to move on and to try her hand at a solo career because it was getting a little rough to kind of hold the flame in an active way when she wasn't getting the support of the record company. So education was important to Mary Wilson. And I was very pleased when she made that decision for herself to, and that was the great thing about Mary. Mary was as much a Supreme, this is the great thing about Mary. She was as much herself as she was a Supreme. And so she was always willing to improve herself. And one of those great ways that she improved herself was by going to school, going back to school and getting a degree.
Patrick Riley, thank you so very much for stopping by and talking about the late, great Mary Wilson. Again, we did not imagine this for 2021. I surely did not. But it is so awesome to know that her legacy will live on through the music, through this beautiful book, Supreme Glamour, as well as through the many memories I think that so many of us have of who she was, that beautiful smile. I always say that sparkle in her eye of all the girls. She had that sparkle of, like you said, daring to dream in her eye. And she
Well, it's funny you say that, Ray. Mary would say to me, she'd say, you're one of Diana's guys. And I say, no, Miss Wilson, I am a Motown guy. I'm a Supremes guy, which makes me a Mary Wilson guy. And I never want that lost in these in the world of fandom. You know, they're the Dianas, the Marys, the Flows. I am them all. And Mary is chief among them as a Supreme.